The Ryder Cup on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Now TV. Only pay for the days you want and stream all 10 Sky Sports channels with the Now TV Sky Sports Pass.
Now, delighted to say that Padraig Carrington is making time for us. He joins us on the line. Evening, Padraig.
Good evening, yes.
Whereabouts are you in the world at this stage?
I'm sitting in Dublin Airport heading over to Edinburgh for the Dunhill.
Ah, of course,
on
yeah.
On the move pretty quickly.
Okay, never stops. If you need to run, just run. There's no problem.
Okay.
Are you all out of energy and wrecked at the moment? Is the come down severe after a week like that?
Yeah, you know, yes and no. As in, I haven't played golf now for 9 days without hitting a golf shot. That's a long time for me. So I'm keen to get back playing golf and, you know, back on the golf course. But I think inevitably there'll be two parts to it this week. There's the buzz of having done well and seeing the guys on the golf course, it rejuvenates what you need to be doing and how you're thinking. But also then there's the down of, you know, it's pretty stressful last week. And even though I wasn't hitting any shots, it does take something out of you.
What are the big stresses for you or the big issues for you in a week like that personally?
You know, in fairness to Thomas, there was five vice captains and he used as well. You know, we used to prepare you know, ideas for Thomas, put things together, and then we'd all sit down as a group and work through it. And it's quite complicated when you, especially the first day, because you're trying to play all 12 players. So that means you must drop four players in each session, eight players in total must be dropped. And, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, guys don't like being sat out. And once you sit one guy out or put one guy in, it changes the dynamic of another pairing, and you might end up trying to get one guy in one place ends up maybe moving three different pairings around, and you could switch one from morning to afternoon. There's a lot going on. I think having the form on the Friday afternoon, going 4-0 in Friday afternoon, definitely made the selection process easier on Saturday. The only tough thing was whether you sat Torbjørn Olsen out, who was playing well, but there was nice partnerships in terms of four ball, and there were certainly four good forces partnerships. From my own perspective, you know, and this happens every time I've been at a Ryder Cup, you question whether you should play guys four times going into the singles on Sunday. You could see how flat Tommy Fleetwood was, but then Frankie Molinari went out there and won. You know, even Rory, it's difficult to play four matches and then go out on your own in a completely different dynamic in the singles and still be up for it. Of course they're trying, but it's just such a different pace, change of pace, that you'd like to rest, at least rest everybody one session.
Yeah, and so presumably you're following pairings across the couple of days and you have to give Thomas information on how people are looking and how they're playing. So who are you generally spending your time with in those first 2 days?
I think I pretty much one day. Let me see. Saturday morning, one of the vice captains has to sit it out with the four guys who aren't playing to make sure that they've got full information, that we know where they are. We able to inform them when they need to know that they're playing, even though we were able to inform guys the night before. But generally, I followed Rory for the three matches. I was on the golf course and the singles actually. So. Yeah, you believe it or not, you're not seeing a huge amount, but we get good feedback in terms of we have the stats of everybody in practice and in the tournament. So there's no hiding, and that's interesting because, you know, a player can come back and say, yeah, my guy played well, and then you look at the stats and say, well, actually, he was the third, you know, the sixth or seventh best of the day sort of thing. So obviously you have to go with feel, but stats are also important.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, and so Rory, very interesting in two areas. One, he went out first in the singles. I wonder, was that decision made long in advance? And secondly, maybe answer this question first. On the morning, after the defeat in the morning and, you know, 3-1 down, there were certainly question marks. Would Rory go out again in the afternoon? He looked a bit out of sorts. Did you have input in that? Did you say, no, he's got to go out again? Or was the possibility of him not going out on the Friday afternoon even raised?
It was raised, but quickly everybody agreed he should be out there. And you know, Rory, you've got to have Rory at the front of our team. It's very important for all the players that he's out there. And, you know, clearly Rory didn't play his best golf on the first morning, but again, from my own perspective, I noticed a different dynamic when we put him out Friday afternoon. We put him out with John Ram, and was John Ram on Friday afternoon? No, it wasn't. It was
Poulter.
Poulter, Friday afternoon. Poulter definitely helped raise Rory's game.
Yeah.
It was interesting that the from a just the crowd perspective, Torbjörn Olsen was too quiet with Rory in the morning. That's Torbjörn's character. He just plays his own game. He's not emotionally high and low. And Rory actually needed that sort of hyperness that Poulter brings to it and got him pumped up.
It's interesting, isn't it? All these permutations and combinations,
well,
it's endless.
That was one thing that I found very interesting, you know, that for sure. And looking back at it, Rory has played very well with rookies, and I think that's why we put him out there with Torbjörn in the first place. But the rookies he's played with, you know, I think Rory likes a bit of the, you know, having the showman beside him, and it gives him a bit of a buzz that there's that sort of atmosphere. And yeah, it was definitely something I noticed that I would definitely want in the future, that I wouldn't be putting Rory out with somebody who is, you know, low intensity. Rory likes a bit of buzz.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. The team afterwards spoke really warmly about the WhatsApp groups and the fun and the general friendships there. And I'm sure, look, everybody in the immediate afterglow will be feeling very, you know, sentimental and well-disposed to their group. So everyone's going to feel that. Did it strike you as a particularly good group in comparison with the many years that you've seen? Did any personalities stand out?
I would think it was, yeah. I you know, WhatsApp groups and things like this, I know we had one the last time, but this is newer than certainly 12 years ago. It was quite possible, you know, when I first started playing 20 years ago, that you hardly knew other players in your group, and you get a good idea of people's, I suppose, their sense of humour and the camaraderie, and there was the male bonding, for sure. You could see a lot of that. It was a very good dynamic in the team. And I think this is something which is different from the States. The Europeans really, really see this as an opportunity, the Ryder Cup, an opportunity to play as a team, an opportunity to get the love and respect of not just your teammates, but the whole of, nearly close to the whole of the world, certainly the whole of Europe. So what's interesting is, like, you can have a Spanish guy at the Ryder Cup being loved by the Irish, being loved by the Germans, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the guys, yeah, it's a huge for their careers in Europe in terms of building a profile. Like, you look at Tommy Fleetwood now.
Yeah.
Tommy Fleetwood is now a personality.
I think we've all fallen in love with Tommy Fleetwood.
That's exactly. Yeah. And without the Ryder Cup, he would never have been.
Yeah. And you know, how did you find him?
Oh, like, Tommy's a lovely guy. We all know him. He's one of the, like, really, really nice guys. But now he's a personality.
Yeah.
The Ryder Cup has made him. And, like, if you look back, it's made Poulter, it's made Sergio Garcia. The Ryder Cup makes players into, you know, let's face it, pretty much everybody craves a little bit of that, you know, of wanting to be liked, wanting to be loved, wanting to be loved by the fans, wanting the excitement, you know, the buzz of people cheering for you. And you can see that in the reactions. The Ryder Cup gives them a forum. And I just don't think the US guys have that.
Yeah.
They don't have that. You know, they're already loved by the US guys. And they're you know, maybe Patrick Reed. If you think about Patrick Reed, he has many more US fans, certainly up before this Ryder Cup, because of his exploits. So it made him a personality.
And did you have any sense of the Spieth Reed stuff, and Koepka and Johnson seemed to have a bit of a disagreement? Did you get any mumblings that they weren't as united as the European team were?
We didn't notice maybe so much the Reed Koepka thing. The biggest thing to us was, you know, that Phil wasn't playing in the four ball on Friday morning. That was a shock to us, and we knew we had gone on the first day. We had really gone all out to spread our team nicely. We didn't go in to the four balls and play our eight best players. We played our eight best teams on the day, all 12 players. okay, we didn't expect to lose the four ball, 3.5, 1.5, but we knew they'd gone all guns in the four ball, and we knew we hadn't. So we were comfortable going out in the afternoon that we had a good team when we knew they were playing a weaker team in the afternoon. And to be honest, you know, maybe they didn't look at the golf course in advance, but yeah, they probably had a few vice captains that were more suitable to be out in the Friday afternoon foursomes next early than you know. It does seem an odd mix to us, and it certainly brought a bit of confidence to our team.
Yeah, I'm sure people looked at Zach Johnson and Matt Kuchar and kind of thought, geez, they're made for this course in a way.
Yeah. Somebody like Kevin Kisner sitting at home, who would be a fine player on that golf course, Webb Simpson proved it too, a really strong player, put him on the right golf course, just like Frankie Molinari, put him on the right golf course. They're strong players already. All of a sudden, they're the best players.
Yeah, well, I want to ask you about the course, because that's been talked about so much, and Jim Furyk was at pains to point out that while Justin Thomas was the only player to play in the French Open, he said within 2 weeks of the French Open, pretty much the whole American team had gone out for one day's recce anyway to play the course. And I appreciate tournament is different. Okay, so we kind of see vaguely what is being done between the rough and the crowd well back, so the rough isn't trampled down, and the narrow fairways and the slower greens. I see all that. Were you surprised? I still didn't fully understand why some of the best players in the world with irons or hybrids in their hand on a tee were not finding those same fairways.
Well, I think if you heard from my perspective, I've been calling this all the time coming into the Ryder Cup. I said, yes, the US are very strong. We are strong, but home advantage will make the difference. The US, as Hazeltine, last time round, got a statistician in, and the statistician says, if you make this into a birdie contest, you will win.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. They made no rough, beautiful greens, but very quick and soft and easy pins. And yes, the Americans make more birdies, so they're going to win. Mm. We looked at the stats, and we hit 5% more fairways than the US did. So we're like, you know, maybe it might be 65-60. Percentages of fairways hit.
Yeah.
And that was reflected exactly in the number of fairways hit during the tournament.
Yeah.
We hit 5% more fairways than they did.
Yeah.
And that could make all the difference. And personally, you know, you can obviously you set the golf course up. So the US hit the same number of fairways they normally do. We hit the same number of fairways we normally do. But I think one of the things that you would see from our perspective, you know, they don't like the greens, the pace of the greens. And that's the fish. In the end of the day, with the greens right, a nice pace, 10.5 to 11, which is just they're used to 11.5 upwards, and it just unsettles them.
Yeah.
They're not. You know, now mind you, that's the pace you would see at the Open Championship. So, and the US obviously do quite well at the Open.
Yeah.
So it's not unusual, but we know it's an advantage for us. They know it's an advantage that they're, you know, stimping at 14, where that's what they're familiar with, and. I suppose it's certainly worth 2 points to a team, you know, and like a good team playing well can overcome it, but it's definitely a 2 point advantage having the ability to set the golf course up.
Well, I guess a last question really, because you've been good with your time and I know you're busy. Rory has been quick out of the gap to say he'd like to see you lead the team in America. Sergio Garcia, I mean, it's lovely. I saw you two giving each other a big high five at one point then. And you're best friends now. It's great.
Well, I won't say we're best friends, but we do get on.
Okay.
And that's what the Ryder Cup does.
Yeah, well, true. Well, Sergio has come out and said Padraig should lead the team, he thinks, in 2020. Paul McGinley said it on this show last night that, you know, it feels like it's yours if you want it. And a few weeks ago, you kind of said you had your eye on 2020. So, you know, it's an audacious one to go to America, because it feels like more and more we're going to see home wins because of everything we've just said about course setups. Any part of you kind of think, geez, I might prefer to take a team at home and be able to shape the course? And, you know, it's a daunting thing. No one wants to be a losing captain.
No one wants to be a losing captain. There's no doubt that you have a better chance at home. You get more involved at home. You have no say when it's away. But saying that, I think the guys in the team would like continuity. I think the vice captains who are there look like they'll be captains and around the team for a while to come. There was a very nice mix. Right down to, like, Robert Carlson was brilliant in terms of his diligence in making sure he did a lot of the hard work and stats and things like that and made sure we were up to date with all of that.
Right.
So, like, you know, somebody like Robert looks like he could be there forever. You know, the players really appreciated that, appreciated the vice captain. So I think they're looking for continuity. As regards me going to the States, I think to give the Europeans the best chance, it would look like they would line me up for the next one because of my profile in the States.
Yeah.
So it's not a question of me saying, oh, look, I'd like to do it in Europe because I have a better chance of winning.
Yeah.
Overall, Europe have a better chance of winning if I go to the States and somebody else does it in Europe. For the good of the team, it will probably look like that.
And saying that,
I will say one thing, and this softens it a little bit. Whistling States is where it's going to be in 2020, is a European-style golf course.
Okay.
So they won't be able to get the greens to 14 on the stint measure purely because it's too windy.
I'm hoping
it's not going to be ridiculously, you know, the 2 points might be only a point.
Yeah. And do you have any misgivings about effectively almost having to really park your playing privileges and your playing career over the next 2 years?
Well, that is another difference. If you go to the US, you have a lot less to do.
Okay.
If you're in Europe, you really have to give up everything you're doing. There's a lot of, you know, the sponsors, you know, you have a lot of work to do for the European sponsors, where they're not European sponsors in the States. It's really just the US. So,
yeah.
So I will be able to play, at least for the next year anyway, maybe the year of the tournament. It wouldn't be as easy.
Yeah, okay. Well,
now that's if I go for the captaincy now. Who's saying I'm going?
Are you undecided still, or have you made up your mind?
No, not undecided, but it's still a voting, it's still a selection thing, so
You don't want to be presumptuous, I understand. Yeah, no, that's fair enough. The very last question, I can tell you're on the move. It's just something which is broken there. The poor woman that Brooks Koepka hit on the 6th, it turns out now, is blinded in one eye for life. Like a shocking thing that, you know, as a fan you don't expect it, and certainly Brooks Koepka, who did shout 4 from the tee, you don't expect it. I must say, as a player, if I was like Koepka and hit the ball a million miles away, I don't know, I mean, that would cross your mind the next couple of times you're on the tee and maybe beyond. That could be a very difficult thing for him to get over, notwithstanding, I know, the more important issue is that woman's health. But what a dreadful thing after a bad week already for Koepka.
Yeah, you know, it is very strange because the French course was probably the best course we have ever been at in terms of the spectators could see, but we're far enough back. So there were so few drops and so few times people hit it into the crowd. And yet on this one rare occasion where Brooks did, it hit somebody and hit somebody badly. I know when it actually happens, it's incredibly unsettling.
Right.
You know, you know, it's standard practice when it happens for the player to go over, and obviously you sign a glove or something like that. And just, but you know, usually there's blood, and that's upsetting enough. In this poor woman's case, obviously it's incredibly serious and, you know, somewhat life changing. Definitely life changing going forward. So, yeah. It's going to affect him. He's going to think about it, and it's never. You know, it's one of it is an accident, but you know, it doesn't feel like that when you're the one who was part of it.
No, I wouldn't think so. Listen, that's a somber note to end a brilliant week on. Congratulations. I mean, it looked like great fun as well, and the best of luck this week as well over at the Dunhill.
Thank you.
There you are, that's Padraig Harrington speaking to us earlier on. He was in Dublin Airport, he was racing for his flight over to the Dunhill in Scotland this week. And all our Ryder Cup coverage is brought to you in association with Now TV. You can stream all 10 Sky Sports channels with a Now TV Sky Sports Pass. He's a great man, Kenny.
Yeah, just interesting. I mean, there's certainly worse things to be called than interest. There's not too many of these people around anymore, is there? Interesting things to say. But Padraig is one of them. Yeah, I always enjoy listening to him.
He might have to curb over the next 2 years his lifelong habit of being honest with the media. If he's captain and he's got, you know, a team to look after, he won't be able to be as forthcoming about things.
I think it's one of his virtues. I think it's why he's probably so popular across the board. He just mentioned it there, why people perceive he might be a good choice over there, because certainly wouldn't be any animosity from the American crowd. I think there's a healthy respect from not just as a player. And I always remember him, Joe, when Tiger Woods was at his peak and he absolutely dominated players, obviously with the quality of his play, but just kind of mentally, just nobody could live with him. And I always felt there was a period of time there at Woods' peak when Padraig was the only one from a mental point of view who could go toe to toe with him on a golf course. I remember a tournament over in the Far East, it might have been Japan or something, going head to head and Padraig coming out on top. And it really felt, I remember looking at him thinking, how proud I was. This is the only player in the world for me. who can, you know, from personality point of view, mentality, can compete with one of the greatest sportsmen of all time, and he's ours.
Yeah, the word in the media centre was Steve Stricker will be the opposing captain, and it might be Phil Mickelson after that, though we were all kind of thinking, wouldn't it be great if it was Phil and Podrick for two
Phil
years?
Phil was talking about, I want to play, I don't want to end this now. I bet the rest of the team were thinking, oh no, Phil, don't.
Phil.
Just shock it, please.
Phil, don't make us say it to you.
The Ryder Cup on Off The Ball. Brought to you by Now TV. Only pay for the days you want and stream all 10 Sky Sports channels with the Now TV Sky Sports Pass.